We begin the current daf in Sechtes Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Lamed Vav Mabez, three lines up at the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues to explain the halachas of tefillin, specifically regarding the placing of the tefillin on the person's body. Says the Gemara, turn around and learn the Braisa. Says a person should put his tefillin al yodecha, on your arm. Says the Braisa, zu small, this refers to the left arm. Says the Braisa, atoy mismol, is that really you say it's the left arm? Ayin el yamin, maybe it's the right arm. Tamalayma, that's the pasuk says nishai. It says, Hashem says, af yodi yasta aretz, also my hand founded the earth. Vimini tapcha v'shamayim, and my right hand, so to speak, measured the heavens. So we see from the fact that it says two different terminologies, one is yad and one is yamin. Obviously, yamin is the right hand, and yad is the left hand. So when our pasuk says you should put tefillin al yodecha, al yodcha, it means the left hand. So to Va'imer says the pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, says yada la yaseh tishlachana, her hand is stretched out to the peg. V'mina la halmus ameilim, and her right hand is for the laborer's hammer. Again, there's yad and there's yamin. Obviously, yad refers to the left hand. And so to Va'imer a pasuk in Tehillim that says lama toshav yadcha, why do you hold back your hand v'mincha and your right hand? Mikerev chekcha chalei, take it out from your bosom. Go ahead and do something. Meaning, there's the right and the left. The right is called yamin, and the left is obviously called yad. Now, however, as the Gemara continues, Tabul Amazayin Medalv, Rabbi Yisi HaChayrim, the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yisi HaChayrim, where Chayrim refers to a sunken in nose. Generally, a nose protrudes from the face. And then certain people that have a blemish, that their nose is submerged, and that is if one would go ahead and put makeup on, would go straight from eye to eye, without hitting the nose, as the Gemara B'chayrim says, Nafna Megimla Mebeis. So some say either that that was a reference to himself, which Taisa says that we wouldn't use such disgraceful terminology. Rather, either it's his place, or he's the one who taught that halacha regarding the charim. But either way, he says, Mitzinu yamin shenikra yad. What do you mean? We find the right hand being called yad, and therefore you can't learn out from over here when it says al yodecha, that means the left hand. It could mean the right hand. Shemlek says, the pasuk in Bereishis, says, Vayar Yosef, Yosef saw, ki yashas avav yad yamina, that his father placed his right hand. You see that the yad can be referring to the right hand, and therefore it's not a proof that when it says al yodecha, that it means the left hand. But v'idach, the Tanakam would tell you, no, yad yamina ikri, we find the right hand being called the yad yamin, but yad stamal ikri, we don't find the source that when it just says the word yad, it means the right, and therefore if it says just al yodecha, it means the left hand. Now Rav Nasnaim, he says, in the tzarech, you don't need to come out to the source that al yodecha, that because yamin means right and yodecha means left, that's how you know it's the left hand. He says, rather, because that Rei Waimin, the pasuk says, ukshartim, that you should tie the tefillin on your arm, and it says uksaftim, that you should write the mezuzahs on the doorways. Now, so the comparison of Keshira and Kesiva teaches us, Maksiva be yamin, just like the writing of the scroll is with the right hand. Generally, when someone writes a mezuzah, most people write with their right hands. Therefore, the writing of the mezuzah is with the right hand. So, af Keshira, so then so too, when he's nodding on the tefillin onto his arm, is also going to be yamin, that he's going to be tying it on with his right hand. Now, Vakim the Keshira be yamin, since he's tying the tefillin on with his right hand, Hanacha b'smali, that must mean that he's placing the tefillin on his left arm. Because if he would be nodding it onto his right arm, then he wouldn't be able to be nodding it with his right arm. And therefore, that's the source that we know, if he's nodding it with his right arm, that his tefillin is on his left arm. Now, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yisai HaChayrim, Hanacha b'smal menoli, how does he know that we placed the tefillin on the left arm if he said you can't know it from Al Yodecha? So the Gemara, Nafkele, Mehechad Nafkele, Rav Nassan, he knows it from Rav Nassan's source, where he says you know it from a comparison of Ukshartem to Uksavtem. Now, Rav Ashi Yemei says a third source. He says, it says, he knows it mi Yodcha. When it writes in the Torah, Yodcha, it's Ksiv Behei. It adds on, seemingly, it should just say Yod Dalad, Chav Sofit, end of Chav. But instead it has a hey there at the end. What that teaches us is keya. It's on the weaker hand. Because the hey is generally the feminine terminology. So it's referring to the left hand, which is not so much strength as the female. Or yod cha is could be read yod keha, as if there's the chaf is shared with like kaf hey hey, which is again, that means weak, without energy. That refers to the left hand, which is weaker than the right hand. So that's a third source how we know that when it says al-yodcha, it means the left hand. Now, but Omali Rabbah al-Rabashi, he asked on his interpretation, ve'ima yodcha shebekayach, maybe the extra hey, sometimes we can have letters that are interchangeable. A hey is interchangeable with a ches, it's a guttural. You should read it as yadchayach, the hand that has the strength, that actually should be put on the right hand, not the left hand. That Omali Rabashi said, the miksim bechesed, say with a ches? No. if we didn't have an interpretation, maybe we would say it's interchangeable, but obviously if it says with a hey, that could be read as yad keha or the feminine, and therefore we would tell us that it means the left hand, not the right hand. Says the Gemara Ketanoi, that actually this teaching of Rav Ashi, we see as a machlokes tanoim because we find that there are tanoim who learn out that it's put on the left hand from yad chalek Rav Ashi, but then we find out those who do not interpret the pasuk the way Rav Ashi said. The Tanakhama says, like Rav Ashi, Yadcha Behei Zusmal. That refers to tell you that it's the weaker hand on the left, like Rav Ashi said. But Achayim, the others, they say a different interpretation of the Pasuk. Yadcha L'Rabbis Es Hagidim. It comes to include an amputee who doesn't have a hand, where Yadcha, like we said, is the weaker hand, the more frail hand, which sounds like even a hand that's ruined because a part of it was amputated, that's still telling us that one is still going to put it onto that hand. But that's what Yotcha is teaching, not as in the left versus the right, but rather a more a severed hand versus a complete hand. So Dutani Duch learned another braisa, says, Ein Leizraya, someone doesn't have a left arm. So Patim in that tefillin, Tanakhama says, exempt from tefillin because only put on the left, you don't put on the right. The others say, no, Yotcha, what that teaches is L'Rabbis is Agidim, that comes to include an amputee. Now, Shita Mukabezes brings from the Yerushalmi that obviously these two interpretations are disagreeing regarding what you should do. The Tanakhama says you don't have a left arm, you're exempt. That the Acherim would be saying that no, that you'll go ahead and put on to the right arm, that even the Gidim, an amputee, is still obligated. But Taisus brings that no, they're both saying they do not disagree in their halachas. The interpretation of the Tanakhama is he has no left arm at all, so then what's he going to do? But the Achayim are saying that if there is a left arm, but let's say part of it is amputated, doesn't have, let's say, the left hand, still, you're going to be obligated, that we learned from Yotcha, even though it's not an intact hand, it's a weaker, frail hand, still there's an obligation of Tefillin. Tanur Barlin or Braisa. Itar, maniach Tefillin b'minoi. A left-handed person puts his Tefillin actually on his right arm, shehu smoiloi, it's so to speak, his left hand. Meaning the right hand of a lefty is like his left because the majority of his strength is in his left hand. And we said it's not really left hand, the left arm that says in the Torah, it says the weaker one. For a lefty, his weaker is his right arm. And that is the Gemara B'Tanya in the Braisa, it says, Manich b'smoiloi, he'll put it on his left arm, shu smoiloi shel kol adam. It says that a lefty, someone has the strength in his left arm, will put on his left hand because it's still the left of the majority of people. And you're saying that you put it on the right arm? Amabai says, no, it's not difficult. Ki tanya, when do we learn that braisa? B'sholet b'shtei yadav is when he has strength in both arms, that they're equally strong for him. We're what's called ambidextrous. That since he also has strength in his right arm, so that's what he's going to put into his left arm because that's the left of every single person, even though, yeah, for him, his left arm is like his right arm too. But since they both have the equal strength, if we're going to have to choose one of the two, we'll put on his left arm because at least that's where the majority of people have it as the weaker arm. Now, Tanu Bei Menashe, we learned in the Brais in Yeshiva of Menashe, it says that a person should put his tefillin al yadcha, on your arm. What is this referring to? Zuki Bairis, this refers to the biceps, which is the muscles between the elbow and the shoulder. Now, when it says Bein Einecha, they put the tefillin shel reish, between your eyes, Zukatkait, this refers to on the skull, on the top of the head. Now, on that is the Gemara Heicha, where exactly on the skull is it put? So, Amar Dabei Rabbi Yannai, they said in Yeshiva Rabbi Yannai, Makim Shemeichi Shel Tinuk Reifus, it's the place where the skull of a child, of a baby, is soft, meaning when he's a minor, like let's say in his first year, what's known as the fontanelle, which is that soft part that's not totally enclosed with the skull, that's where a person puts his tefillin. Now, Baimene Pleimim Rebbe, Pleimim asked the following question from Rebbe. It says, Mishish Leshnei Roshan, someone who has two heads, Be'ezimen Manich Tefillin, on which one of the heads does he put his tefillin? So Amalei, Rebbe said to him, Oy kum goli, either get up and go into exile, oy kibul lechashamta, or accept upon yourself excommunication, because you're making a mockery out of me. What are you asking me these types of questions? Now, says the Gemara, the hachi asahu gav, in the meantime, a person came along, and Amalei said to Rebbe, Ishyan li yenuka di islay terei reishi. I just had a child that has two heads. Kama b'inan lemeis levakayin. How much do I have to give for pidyon ben, which is the redeeming of the firstborn for the kayin? How much shkalim do I have to give to the kayin? Now, Asahu Saba, a certain elderly man came, Tanalei, and taught to him a braisa that says, Chayv likma yud slime, that you actually have to give to the kayin 10 slime. Now, the reason for that is, although Pinya Ben is 5 slime, is because this child is one firstborn. But the child has two heads. and therefore it's considered as two individuals. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Gemara says in Bechereshtam, Memchesem, and Aleph, that when someone gives birth to twins, you don't give 10 sloim for both of them, you give only 5 sloim. Even so, the reason over there is because what's known in Halach as Eif Shalit Samtzim, it can't be exact that both came out the same second out of the mother's womb. So one of them was the firstborn, the other one came out almost right at the same time, but not. So therefore, we don't know which one, but you only have to give 5 sloim. But over here, it's one child. And it could be exacting that they went out at the same time, and they were both petarechim, they're both the one that opened up the womb, which is halacha pinya ben, and therefore said this elderly person that you have to give 10 sloim, which is 2 times the regular of the pinya ben. Now that is the Gemara Ini, is that so? But Vatani Rami Bacham, Rami Bacham taught the following brisa. Matek Shanem, and the fact that the Pasuk says in Bemidbar, Padei Tiftes Bechera Adam, redeem you shall redeem the firstborn of a man. Shemeani, so I would understand. A filanitrav, even if the child was killed b'toich lamed within 30 days of his birth, that still the parents would be obligated to redeem him from the kayin. Meaning, even though the pasuk says in Bemidbar Yotches, ufaduivim ben chaydish tifta, that the redemption of the firstborn is only after 30 days, even so, over here you could say, had he not been killed, he would have lived 30 days, and therefore he's a bona fide bechor, firstborn. So therefore, I would think that you would have to redeem him. Oh, Tamalema, but that's why the Pasuk teaches as you continue to Amud Beis, Ach, it says, Ach Padei Tifta. Ach is an exclusionary term to tell you, Chilak, that no, it's differentiating that to saying that no, if a child dies within 30 days, then there's no obligation of Pinya Ben. So therefore, as the Gemara here also, this child with two heads should be like the same thing like Nitraf, like a child that's dies within 30 days, because this child is not going to survive, a child cannot survive with two heads. So therefore, how can you say that is chayiv pinya ben, let alone 2 times, if he's not going to survive? Says the Gemara, Noshani Hach, in this case, the child with the two heads is different. The Torah makes the halacha of pinya ben contingent on the skulls. Like the Pasuk says, chamish shkolim l'gulgoylus, 5 shkolim per head. Now here, he has 2 heads. Now, although the Pasuk says Ach, which is Chilig, and says that if he dies within 30 days, not obligated, but in this child, he didn't die yet. And since he didn't die yet, so there's an obligation. And moreover, there's a double, because it goes per head, and since he has 2 heads, and they're both Petarechem, at least possibly, so therefore he's obligated to give to the Kayan 10 sloim, and therefore the question that was asked by Playmoy from Rebbe was not so unusual, as we saw that actually was such a situation regarding that there is such a possibility, and therefore the question could be viable regarding which head does the person put his tefillin on. Now the Gemara goes back to what we said before. Amamar, Tanya the Braisa said that when it says the mitzvah putting on the tefillin shel yad, it says yodecha, your hand, zuki biris, this refers to the biceps. Averas Gemara Menolim, where do we know this from? The Torah Menolim, like, we learn the Braisa, it says al yodecha, to put the tefillin on your yadcha, on your hand. So zugei v'shabayat, this refers to the higher part of the hand, meaning the biceps, which is higher up on the arm, which is near the shoulders, which is the lower part of the higher part, but it's above the elbow. And that says the b'risa, to'im zugei v'shabayat, do you really say it's the higher part of the hand? O'ina el al yadcha mamash, it means literally, you put the tefillin on your hand, meaning on the palm of one's hand. And that's the Braisa, no, because Amr Tayra Hanach Tfilin Biyad. The Torah says, put Tfilin on the hand, and Vahanach Tfilin Shabarash. It also says to put Tfilin on the head. Malahal Begave Shabarash, just like over there by Tfilin Shabarash. As the Gemara is going to shortly learn out from Sukkim. It means the high point of the head, meaning on top of one's head, on top of the skull. Savkam Begave Shabarash. So also when it says to put on Tfilin on the hand, it means the higher point in the hand, which is higher up on the arm by the biceps. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, he says, you don't need that source. Because it says in the Pasuk, that for you it should be a sign on your arm. What that teaches is, for you it should be a sign, and not for others as a sign. Meaning that others on the outside should not see your tefillin shel yad. And if you're wearing it on the palm, everyone sees the palm of one's hand. And therefore that teaches us that it should be higher up, which is generally covered by one's shirt, and therefore it's only going to be for you a sign, but for others they won't see it. Rabbi Yitzchak Gremi says a third source. He says, no, in the tzarch, you don't need that. Harayim, the pasuk says, v'samtim is devarei ela ala vavchem. You should place these words, those of the Krishma, on your heart. Ukshartim, and then the pasuk says later on, you should tie them on your arm. What that teaches is that ala vavchem is related to ukshartim, shatei sima keneged alev, that you should put it and tie the tefillin shel yad opposite the heart, ala vavchem, and the biceps are opposite the area of the heart. Now, Rabbi Chiya, Rav Acha, Barei Rav Avya, they took this to the next level. Mechaven umanach lelahadi libi. They would actually be directed and placed the tefillin shel yad facing towards the heart. So it wouldn't just be on the biceps, it would actually be leaning inward that it would face towards the heart. Now, the Gemara tells us, relating one of the halachas we said before, Rav Ashi, Abba Yosef, Kameh D'Amemer. Rav Ashi was sitting in front of Amemer. Habitziria biyadi. He had a wound on, by the area of his biceps. And therefore, his shirt was ripped over there so that it shouldn't be pressing on the wound that he had over there by the bicep area. And therefore, his tefillin were able to be seen. They were visible through the tear in his shirt sleeve. So Amalei, so he said to him, Leisav Lamar, doesn't the master hold that what it says, the Joshua we mentioned before, L'chol lois, L'lechem lois, that the tefillin shel yad shall only be assigned for you, but not for others? I could see your tefillin shel yad. So Amalei, he said to him, no, B'makim l'chol lois itmar. It meant in the place where most people, it's not visible to others, which is the biceps, because by most people they're covered with their shirts. But if it's torn and you can see, that's okay. It just is telling you the location, but not that in actuality it has to be covered and not seen. Now, as we mentioned before, the Gemara now asks, how do we know, as we learned that Shal Yad, according to one interpretation from the Shal Reish, that's in the higher part of the hand by the biceps, how do we know that the Tefillin Shal Reish is put on the higher area of the head, meaning on top of one's head? Says the Gemara, the Tanbun, like we learned in the Brice, it says that you should put on the tatafais beinei necha, between your eyes. Zugei v'shebereish, this refers to the high part of the head. Says the Brice, hatoime zugei v'shebereish, does it really mean the high point of the head? Ayeinei ele beinei necha mamash, maybe it means literally between one's eyes, between one's eyebrows, that's where someone puts his tefillin shel reish. And that's what the Brice said, no, nemerkan beinei necha, it says over here between your eyes. V'nemel halan says over there, pasuk in devarim, lo yisesimu karcho beinei nechim lameis, you should not place a bald spot between your eyes over grieving over a person who died. Now, mala halim begeve shebereish, just like over there, means the high point of the head, meaning on one's skull, because that's makom shayser karcha. That's a place where if there's here over there, and if one tears, that's where he makes a bald spot. And that's what the pasuk is telling you. Don't make a bald spot. Obviously, it has to mean on person's head, where that's where he makes bald spots, not between his eyes. Afkam begeve shebereish, also over here, when it says beinei necha, it also means in that on top of one's head. It's makom shayser karcha, a place where if a person would scratch, would go ahead and make a bald spot. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, ein etzarach. He says, you don't need that as the source. Amr Torah, hanach tefillin b'yad. The Torah tells us, place tefillin on the arm, and hanach tefillin b'reish, place tefillin on the head. So we compare the two. Malahan b'makom aroh l'tamei b'negei echad, just like on the arm. It's a location, a place which is fit to become tamei with only one type of a nega, meaning on the arm. The only type of a nega one could have is that there's going to be the white hairs, which is integral to having a nega teras on one's flesh. Avkan, so also over here by the tefillin shel reish, is b'makom aroh l'tamei b'negei echad. It also has to be a place that's only fit and susceptible to become tamei with one type of a nega, which on the head, the one type of a nega is when it's yellowish here, as the pasuk says in Parashas Negayim, regarding the place where there's hair on the head and the beard, is that to become a tamei with a nega has to have golden yellowish hair to become tamei. Lafuke bein enecha, but that would exclude literally if it's between one's eyes, where the ika baster besar, where between one's eyes there's flesh, which is the actual, on the person's forehead there's flesh, and there's hair with one's eyebrows. The ika sar lovin, where there would be two types of tumis nega. There is the white here on the flesh, and there's the yellow here in the place of one's hair by the eyebrows, and therefore that cannot qualify for the place of the tefillin, because it has to be comparable to the shel yad, which only has one type of a nega, and the shel reish, which also only have one type of a nega, meaning where a person has hair on top of his head. Now, the Gemara continues explaining and concluding the discussion of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing Dvarim Hama'akvin Zeh, things that you need to have all of them to be integral. So the Tanakhama had said, Arba Tzitzias Ma'akva Zuazu, the four corners with the strings, each one is integral for the other one to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, because Sharba Asa, mitzvah achas, all four are one mitzvah. And if you're missing one of them, you don't have the whole mitzvah of tzitzis. Which actually the Mishnah brings a machlekes, as the Gemara is going to quote shortly, Rabbi Shmuel, who he says, no, all four are four different mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, what is ultimately the difference between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel? Either way, according to either opinion, you need to have the four corners of the garments with tzitzis, like the pasuk Dvarim Chabez, al arba kamvas kasuscha, you need to have in the four corners tzitzis. What's the difference if it's four mitzvahs or one mitzvah? Some of Yisvi says the difference is that when you have sadin, when you have a sheet, a shirt, made out of linen, but tzitzis, with tzitzis that have tcheles, which the halacha requires with the blue wool, which is actually made out of wool, Ikabinai, that's the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel, where according to Tanakama, it says one mitzvah. So therefore, if let's say he's missing when he's wearing a garment made out of linen, he's missing one of the four corners tzitzis, so then there's no mitzvah. Because the mitzvah, like we said according to Tanakama, is only if you have all four. So that makes that the other three corners that he's wearing, wool tzitzis that's tied onto his linen garment, that's klaim, that's shatness, and he'll be violating that halacha. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not going to be klaim, because the Torah tells you when you're fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis, you're allowed to wear klaim. And the other three tzitzis are three mitzvahs, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, will be valid, whereas according to the Tanakam, you're going to be violating the avera of shatness. Another interpretation, Rav Bar Hinam, he says, talis balas chomish ikibinai. The difference between them is a garment that has five corners, where, for example, if let's say he takes one of the four corners and he cuts it in the diagonal, which that makes it into two different corners, which we learn later on, Perkat Ches, of Mem Gimel and Beis, that a garment that has five corners is obligated in tzitzis, which that's learned out from the inclusionary term of Asher Techasaba, which one is going to cover himself with. Now, according to the Kama, who says that all the tzitzis is one mitzvah, he holds, because when it says in the Torah, Abra Kamvis Kesuscha, means that four is the mitzvah, which is that one mitzvah. So therefore, even when the Torah includes a garment of five corners, it just means to say, when you have five corners, you have to put on four on the corners, but not that you have to put on a fifth one on the fifth corner, because the mitzvah is one mitzvah unit of four. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, but who he says that all four are four mitzvahs, so when the Torah says that a garment with five corners you have to put on, it means to say you put on tzitzis on every corner, including the fifth one, because each one is an individual mitzvah. So that's another difference. When one wears a garment of five corners, according to Tanakam, he's still going to have only four tzitzis, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, you'll have five. Third interpretation, Ravina Ami says, "Dravhuna kibinai." The Allah of Ravhuna would be the difference between them. The Amr Ravhuna says, "Ayitze betalis she'ena mitziyetzis kel chasa b'shabbos." If someone goes out with a talis, with a shawl, with a garment that has four corners that doesn't have the appropriate tzitzis attached to it accordingly on Shabbos, chayiv chatas, he's liable for a chatas for carrying those extra tzitzis because it's not fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis, and those are unnecessary strings that are hanging, which are being carried by the person. And what Ravina is saying is that everyone agrees to Ravuna's halacha. The difference, however, would be if, let's say, there's only three corners that have tzitzis and not the fourth one. So according to Tanakama, that's considered tzitzis that are not halachically valid because you need to have all four for the mitzvahs, and therefore you chayv chatas because those tzitzis, like we said, are carrying a load. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that is going to be appropriate halacha of tzitzis because you're fulfilling three out of the four mitzvahs and it's not possible, and Ravuna's halacha is only when it's possible, and it's not possible. Every single tzitzis, every single corner, it's a separate mitzvah. Now, continuing on this theme, Amar Rav Shesha Barid Ravidi says, Haiman de Batsri Leglime. Someone who goes and cuts one of the corners of the four corners, he cuts it like in the inside, so now it looks like two corners. Loevet Vleklum has not done anything to exempt himself from mitzvahs, because like we mentioned before, Shavi Talis, Balas Chamesh, all he did was now make the garment into a five-corner garment, and like we said, that's going to be obligated still in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So to continue on this theme, Amrav Masharshi says, Haiman did Tsairi Liglimi. Someone who, according to the first interpretation of Rashi, had a long cloak, a long garment, long talis. So he folded it up, and then he's now hanging the tzitzis by the corner of what was doubled up, like cuffed up. So on that is what Rav Masharshi is saying, is that even though he had tied it and knotted it up, that the extra part of the garment should not come back down, so now he's putting the tzitzis on where the new corner is. Says Rav Masharshi, he hasn't done anything. My time, what's the reason? Because ultimately, the person's going to end up untying it and letting it go back to its original place. And then it's going to come out that the tzitzis are going to be in the middle of the garment, because now the real corner is going to be hanging down, and we need to have the tzitzis on the confis, on the corners. So therefore, even from now, the command of Shari Yudam, we view it as if it's already down, and therefore you're not fulfilling the mitzvah putting in the corner, because although it's on the folded corner, but that's going to be coming down, and you're not putting on the corner, it's somewhere in the middle. As we find, Utsnan Nami, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Kim that says the same idea. Kol Chamasis, all flasks, had tsruros, that are knotted, that are tied, meaning their bottom is not sewn, they're just knotted. So those types of flasks are tahiris. They're not mekabel tumah, because we view it as if that knot is open and therefore doesn't have a receptacle. It's like a vessel that has a hole that could let out the size of a pomegranate, which it's not something that's mekabel tumah because it has to be able to receive things. chutz mishal arvim, except for those flasks of the Arabs, where that's normal for them to do it, and therefore that's considered a complete vessel that can receive things. But again, we find it ideal, although it's knotted, but since it can ultimately be open, we don't view it as something that is really closed and permanent that way. Another halacha, Amar Rav Dimi min Arda, says, Hai mein dachayte leglime. Even this person, like as we explained before, he folds over the bottom of his cloak, and he even sews it so that it should not go back to its original place. And he puts tzitzis in the new place, in the new corner that's the folded apart. Even so, he says, Le'ovid v'klum, he hasn't done anything because we do view it as if it's down. Why? When he sewed it up. Because im isa dole mi ba'ile, if would be true that he didn't need it anymore, meaning if it's really so long and he doesn't need that extra length of the garment, so lifsik, let him cut that part that he had doubled over, v'lishadye, and then let it be. And then hang up the tzitzis on the new corner. And the fact that he sewed it up, obviously because he still might want to let it down, and therefore it's not really on the corners because the corners are what's folded over, and therefore one has not fulfilled his obligation of putting on the tzitzis on that new corner. That's the first interpretation of Rashi, but the second one, which is on the top of Lam Chesem Ad Alv, that Rashi holds as primary, is going to the previous case of Manditsairi Liklimi, someone who knotted up his garment. What it means to say is that he by folding up the corners of his talus and folding it up and tying it like that, he wanted to make it as if he cut off and rounded it off and that there's no more corners anymore. So that to preclude it from the obligation of tzitzis, which have to have corners, then by folding it up, he's rounding it up, that there's no more corners. And that's what the Gemara says, La'asa klum, he hasn't done anything to exempt himself from tzitzis. Why? Like the Gemara says, Kiman d'shadi dami. In other words, it's like it's down, and still like it still has the four corners, because ultimately he's going to let it down. And similarly, the other halacha from Rav Dimi, that said if someone sewed up his garment, same idea where he's folding over, doubling over his corners, to round it off as if there is no corner, and he even sewed it up that it shouldn't go down, even so he hasn't done anything to exempt himself from the lach of tzitzis, because as long as he hasn't cut it off, that's what Rav Dimi was saying, that obviously he still needs it, and still part of the talus, and still for the garment still has four corners, which obligates him in tzitzis, and he hasn't exempted himself. Now the Gemara continues, as we mentioned before, that Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, he disagrees with the Tanakhama, he says, Arba us and Arba mitzvahs, all the four corners are four different mitzvahs. He says, halacha k'Rabbi Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Shmuel, which, as we said previously, what the difference would be by saying, is it four different mitzvahs or one mitzvah, like we had three different interpretations, what the ramifications would be, halacha is like k'Rabbi Shmuel, that they're all individual mitzvahs. It says the Gemara, but halacha is not like k'Rabbi Shmuel, because halacha does not follow k'Rabbi Shmuel, and rather like the Tanakhama, that it's one mitzvah. As the Gemara illustrates, Ravina have a ko'azla basre dema baravashi b'shabata dirigla. Ravina is going behind ma baravashi on the Shabbos, when they expound the halachas of the coming Yom Tov. As the Gemara says in Pesachim, the Vav Med Alef, the 30 days before the Yom Tov of Pesach, we start asking already about the questions of the Yom Tov of Pesach. So on that Shabbos, when they would darshan and lecture about the halachas of the Yom Tov, he was walking behind him, and ifsik karna dechute, so the corner of his garment where the strings were hanging, the tzitzit of Rav Ashi got pulled off. So now he was really only walking with a garment with three tzitzis, and as we said, that there could be a problem, but he didn't tell him anything. Now, kadmata lebeis, but when he came home, Amalei said to him, Mahasam ifsik, you know that when we were walking on the journey, it was already there that your tzitzis had got pulled off. So Amalei, so he said to him, Iamrat li mahasam, had you told me there on the way home, Shadisi, I would have pulled off my shirt for myself that had the tzitzis. And the reason for that is because, like we said, the halacha does not follow like a bishmol, rather like the Tanakhama. And if any one of the four corners are missing, it's not fulfilling the mitzvah. That makes the extra strings as carrying in Rishos Sarabim because it's unnecessary, and therefore it's not allowed to carry an unnecessary load in Rishos Sarabim. I would have taken off my garment that had the tzitzis and taken off and walked without my shirt. Now, on that, he asked him, but Vomamar, but the master had said, how great is the dignity of a person, of the creations, and even overrides a negative prohibition in the Torah. So, although it would be a negative prohibition of Haitzav, carrying a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but Kavod HaBriyos, you're going to be taking off your shirt in the public domain, it's embarrassing. And therefore, you wouldn't have had to do that. Why would you say, had you known, you would have taken it off? So that says the Gemara, Targumi Rav Bar Shavu Kamed Rav Kahana, that he interpreted that, no, what does that mean? It's not like Kavod HaBriyos, dignity of a person, overrides any negative prohibition of Torah. Rather, as we continue to talk about the Lama Aleph, it means Balav Delay Saser. It means in regards to a specific negative prohibition of Torah, that of not to deviate from the words of the sages. For example, like which would mean moving muktzah, which is a rabbinic prohibition, or like taking certain stones to the lavatory, where that's rabbinic problems about something that's set aside for Shabbos, total muktzah, that because of kavod habris, the dignity of a person, that would override this negative prohibition, which are rabbinic laws. But to carry a load in the public domain, which is written explicitly in the Torah in regards to the context of the, what we understand biblically from the laws of melachas of Shabbos, that's a regular loss in the Torah, that kavod habris, that the dignity of a person does not override that, and if I would have taken off that garment that had the halachically not valid tzitzis. Now, Vikadami, those say a different version, that actually Mahasim Amalei, Ravina told him there on the road when they were walking, your tzitzis got pulled off. Vamalei, and that Mamar of Ashi said to him, my daitach, so what's your understanding? You want me lamish today? You want me to take now my garment off now and take it off here in the street? But the master said, what do you mean? The dignity that I have over here overrides the negative prohibition of Torah. So now he answered back, but Vatirgumu Rab Bar Shavu Kamid Rav Kahana, that's only Belav Delei Sasser. That's only regarding that negative prohibition that says we have to fulfill the rabbinic halachas. But here, this is Haitzah. On that he answered him, no Hachanami Karmelis, we're not in a Rishus Harab Dairaisa. We're in a Karmelis, which is an area that biblically is actually permitted to carry. And rather, Derabbani, it's only rabbinically prohibited, so therefore it's back to the obligation of Leis Sasser, and even if it, we have a Leis Sasser Shabbat Torah, but regarding that halacha, Kavod Habris is Deich, and therefore I'm not going to take off my shirt, even though one of the four corners got pulled off. Hanulach HaKaymetz, we shall return to you the third parak in Masechtas Menachos, parak HaKaymetz Rabbah, and with that we conclude the third parak in Masechtas Menachos.